Welcome back to Time by the Tent. Happy you are with us. Happy you've downloaded the program or watching on YouTube. Thank you very much. I'm your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and camping partner,
Holly Baird.
There you go. So we're going to get...
We need our camp names.
Oh, camp names? Yeah. I don't...
We need to work on that so okay. You can say Joy Baird, a.k.a.
Okay.
Sharp Rock,
uh-huh.
And then I can be a.k.a. What's my camp name?
I don't know. We're working on hiking right now. That's what
I want a camp name.
We'll get you a camp
All right.
name. So we're going to talk about hiking. Now, hiking can mean many different things, and some people may feel that camping is a very elaborate activity that requires multiple pieces of equipment, and others it's just a walk in the woods. Holly, you are an avid hiker, so why don't you share kind of what the equipment is that you think people may need versus what is overkill? And where do you hike, first of all?
I hike in state parks.
Okay.
I hike in county parks.
And state parks, you need a permit in the state of Wisconsin in order to access the property. Is that correct?
Yes. And okay. You also sometimes need a trail pass, but I think that's only for cross-country skiing. You'd have to look.
Okay.
But not just it's not for hiking.
Based on your state.
Yeah, based on your state. So you need a state park pass in Wisconsin, and it's like $27 a year if you buy it for a second vehicle in your household, you get that half off. So if you buy, it's a kind of a 2-for-1, but not
discount.
Deep. Yeah, and then seniors are at a lower rate. And I'm sure there's other discounts too. So anyway, hiking is very enjoyable. I think the biggest thing is people think that they may have to have. You do want hiking shoes or boots. You want something that has a little bit more of a tread on it. I typically prefer to hike in shoes or boots. I will hike in sandals if I'm going for a very familiar, shorter hike, like Teva sandals, like hiking sandals type of equipment, footwear, whatever you want to call it. But you want to make sure that you have proper footwear. First of all, this helps you keep your, especially hiking boots, helps keep your ankle stabilized, and that's important.
Well, you have weak ankles to begin with.
Right.
That's just a, I don't know if that's a technical medical thing, but you do have not as strong ankles as you would like.
Right. And that's one thing that I go to the gym, it's something I work on, but I still hike with boots on, especially for longer hikes. So you want that. You want to think about footwear for sure. Proper clothes. So you want something that's either synthetic or natural that's wicking. So that's either going to be some sort of polyester, typically blend, rayon, something like that that's wicking. It'll say wicking, moisture wicking, or merino wool. So I have a lot of stuff from different brands that are wicking. And have I hiked in just like a cotton shirt? Absolutely. But if it's colder out or if it's really hot out, I'm going to wear the wicking stuff.
Okay.
One thing that I also do is, and I forgot to put it on here, is think about chafing. So if your thighs chafe together, whether you are in a larger body or your thighs just really love each other, you might want to look into getting an anti-chafing rub for your legs. Or just ensure whatever you're wearing that it'll not allow your thighs to chafe, because then you will be sad.
Anti-chafing, so basically some type of lubrication? Is that what that essentially is?
You can go to a store website or whatever, just Google anti-chafing stick, and mm-hmm. you will find that. Like at Target, it's in the sports section for the runners. And then there's also another product, I think, in like the women's deodorant section. I'm not even sure.
Don't use Vaseline.
No, don't use Vaseline. These are like formulated to stick to your skin, but then also allow the friction to be reduced.
So some people choose to carry water, have a water backpack, have hiking sticks, have a hat. What is too much? What is not enough for somebody who's serious, like for a 4 or 5 mile? Or what? First of all, you should hike what you are capable of doing.
Yeah.
What and then work your way up to whatever your goal is. what is some of the equipment you see people not using that you think, boy, it would be better if you had that because your hike would be so much more enjoyable?
One thing I know for me is hiking poles. I know a lot of people have this like idea that, oh, I don't need hiking poles. I'm a strong person. I'm so fit, blah, blah, blah. And I felt that way for a long time. And then I fell down and I was all banged up. I was crossing this like creek and the water was pretty low, but the rocks were slippery. And it just happened. I was being very careful. But I am grateful that I have hiking poles now. And
you can spend a little or a lot on these.
Yeah, I would say you can get a decent pair for like $40-$50, or you can go and spend like $180. But I have mine from a huge online retailer, and they were about $40, and I like them a lot. Another thing is you want to look at how the fasteners are on the telescoping mechanism. You want to make sure that they're not. I had these ones that were like
twist fit. Yeah, instead of a clamping action. Yeah. And those didn't last very long. And with hiking sticks, as you're going up or going down in elevation, you're putting your weight, if done correctly, on those sticks. And that's taking pressure off of other joints in your body. It's acting as kind of like a shock absorber.
Yeah. And it's just offering support.
And if you're going up a lot or going down a lot in a day, that's a lot of weight taken off of the your joints that those poles are absorbing for you.
Right. And so that's something you want to keep in mind. And just even from a stability standpoint, if a trail is rockier than you expected, or the terrain is different, or there are a lot of like tree roots that you have to climb over, or even like fallen trees, sometimes it's nice to have that pole to stabilize yourself.
And if you need to use it as some form of a defense, whether for animals or for somebody who is trying to do things they shouldn't, you can utilize that as a weapon too.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And they're just nice to have. And you might, you know, you might bring them with your hike and all of a sudden you're like, I don't need these. You can always just tuck them under your arm. You can always, if you have a backpack, a lot of hiking backpacks have a little loop on them for your hiking poles. So there's a lot of options there as well. I would say if you are a hat person and it's sunny out, bring a hat. Otherwise, just make sure you utilize sunscreen. I would also highly, if you know that there's ticks in the area, I would wear longer pants. If you have long hair, I would tie it up. And also make sure you use bug spray. If there's ticks involved, you want to use bug spray with DEET. And then if you hike with a pet, make sure they have some sort of flea or tick prevention, or you check them or check yourself for ticks, because that's another problem too. Like there's a state park not too far from us that has high known tick population, and it's just smart to not like go running through the grass there.
Right.
So basically, yeah. And as far as water, yes, you can bring water bottles. You can bring like I think it's called like a camel pack or something to put into your hiking backpack. I do like that. The hiking backpack thing. I think it's really convenient because you don't have to worry about, like, if you have a water bottle in your backpack, taking it out, dealing with it, you can be hands-free, especially if you are going on a longer hike. It's convenient. There's been times where...
But then if you have that, then you're able to establish a pee corner in the elevator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Office reference.
Uh-huh. I have been on hikes where I know, like, I could have brought more water. And so if you have, like, backup water, it's smart too. Sometimes you get out there and it's sunnier than you expected, or it's windy. Being in the wind makes you feel a little bit dried out.
Well, yeah. Check the forecast before you go. Check it not just for where you live, but put in, we have the technology, we can put in where we're actually going to hike to see what that forecast, because it can vary quite a bit, just a few miles difference based on terrain, based on lakes and you know how hot it is inland versus lakefront, you know, that type of thing. So keep that in mind. If you are hiking, do you hike? How would you say somebody should hike with a buddy, or at least let somebody know, here's where I'm going and here's where I'm supposed to be back. If I'm not back, something's not right.
Yeah. So typically, you want to I always look at, like, I hike a lot of the same places, but especially solo. But if it's a new place, there's different apps that you can look at. There's one called All Trails. It's an amazing app. Most people who hike know about it. It's no big secret, but it's nice to, you can read reviews. You can sometimes, if it's like spring or fall where maybe the trail might be muddy or something like that, people will kind of indicate that on there as well. And then it gives you an idea. This is, you might see on a map that it's a 1 mile hike. And then you're like, oh, I can do that 1 mile. But then you find out that the terrain is extremely difficult and you're climbing up lots of hills. And that might not feel so fun.
Well, that 20-minute hike now turns into 50 or 60 minutes. And that messes up the, oh, I was supposed to be back at the car to text somebody that I'm okay.
Right. So you definitely want to do a little research.
And some of these may not have good cell service either.
No. I've had that happen where I've gotten to a trail and I look at my phone and I have no service. And then I have to... I usually have to drive to where I get service, and then I usually check in with Joey, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this, whatever. And then that way, he knows that what to expect. But be specific. Have a buddy, I guess, that you check in with if you are going to hike alone. I would highly suggest if you don't know, like maybe you're new to an area or you're just new to hiking, find a hiking group.
Hiking group, yeah.
Find somebody to hike with.
You are part of a hiking group, and which is has chapters all over North America.
Yeah,
it's the
Body Liberation Hiking Club, and they have chapters all over North America.
Is there a website associated with that?
It's that's a good question. there's a website. I just forget exactly what it is. Hold on.
So hiking, and even if you are not part of if you go to a trail, you can see people hiking. You can you know, if you feel comfortable, you can go up to them and go, hey, I'm new here, but, you know, ask questions. Also, the DNR is a good people to reach out to if you're hiking on state land. They would know, answer your questions, much like they are very good at answering questions. Like we talked about in the first segment about buying land and MFL and open and closed and wetland versus non-wetland.
Okay, so the website is bodyliberationoutdoorclub.org, and that's where you go, is bodyliberationoutdoorclub.org, and you can view all of the chapters. And as Joey was saying, that yes, you should talk to your park rangers.
Yep.
Sometimes I've done that where I've been to state parks that I've never hiked certain trails, and I'll be like, hey, what do you think about this trail? And then sometimes there's like a better way to get to it than what it might show on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's a good idea too.
So hiking, there you go. Things to do, things not to do.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.